Chatters, chatties, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice with a special guest with me today, actress, producer, and casting director Rebecca LaMarche, who you've seen in a couple of Great American Family movies and who you will see in Christmas in Maple Hills, which premieres Monday, November 27th at 8 o'clock Eastern. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Finally, I'm so glad we made it happen.
Yes, I've been wanting to have you on the podcast for quite a while, yeah.
Oh, so happy now, to be here.
Yeah, now before we get talking about the movie, tell people, I want people to get to know you a little bit. So tell me, where did you grow up?
I grew up across Canada. I was born in Montreal, Quebec. I then grew up a little bit in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta. Then I moved southwest of Toronto, grew up there in a town called Hamilton, the township of Dundas, went to school in Ottawa, went to school in Halifax, and then I moved myself back to Toronto over 10 years ago, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you get into acting?
Oh, for acting, started doing theater when I was in high school. Then I went to school in Ottawa for journalism. I found all my time outside of school, I was doing plays within the city. So I switched schools to going to two different universities at once. One I could study theater at, the other I could continue journalism at. Out in Halifax, I went to University of King's College and I went to Dalhousie University. So I really started doing my training there. And then outside of school, I'd audition, I'd do, you know, television, theater, whatever. And really just started building from there and figuring out where I wanted to specialize, where I wanted to niche down as I went along. And of course, once I moved to Toronto, it's just such a bigger industry here. It's our biggest industry in Canada is in Toronto for the film and television. So I've just focused completely on that, whether it's in front of or behind the camera.
Oh, so you have a journalism degree.
Yeah, I do.
Oh. So did you work in like TV news?
Not really. I did. Our government, the Canadian Armed Forces and the Canadian Defense Foreign Affairs Institute, they pick 12 up and coming journalists a year and they train you to become embedded war reporters. So I did that training and then I did my thesis in military reporting. I did not end up working in military reporting. I ended up working in fashion journalism. And then I verged into the production side of like producing side of things. And now I'm starting to see where all my journalism background, especially with the war reporting and understanding that system, is coming to play with some of the, you know, the projects I'm going to be producing with my new company, Candor Pictures, in the next couple of years. So it all comes back together.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, now I saw a picture on Instagram that you posted like years ago, like 10 years ago. You were sitting at a board, like a TV board or something, and you said something about working the board. It was on some show.
ETalk?
What was that? It could have been.
Oh, I wonder. Might have been ETalk. That was like our entertainment news.
Yeah, that's what it was. ETalk. Yeah. Yes, that's like an entertainment news thing.
Yeah. I worked there for a little bit. Oh, okay. Good call. Good call on there.
Oh, okay. All right. And so did you wind up getting also a degree in theater or drama or something?
Yeah, I did. I have a combined honors. Oh. So one's in journalism and the other is in theater acting.
Oh, okay. So then when you got out of school, did you start acting right away or did you go into journalism right away?
Yeah, I was plays and theater and that kind of thing. And pursuing breaking into film and television in Toronto, which is its own, you know, hurdle. Anytime you move to a major hub, you have to figure out the framework. So I started doing training specifically for film and television, and I was working freelance as a reporter still. I found that the combination is just, you have to give your all to either one, and they didn't complement each other enough. So I put down journalism at the time, and I started thinking, okay, I have this really, you know, curated skill set. that I wonder if it could transfer to film production and I pursue them separately, but maybe they'll complement a little better. So I thought, okay, I applied to a couple of specific producer training programs and I got in, but they were 6 months away. So I thought, okay, well, what am I going to do for 6 months? I'm not going to wait. So I just started volunteering on sets and immediately that led to jobs. And I started working so much on the production side that I didn't even go to the program and just, I'd go to set in the evenings, I'd research and look up everything I didn't know. And it just really snowballed into a lot of work. And I never ended up going to that program. I just, you know, started carving out my own path.
Oh, that's great. So you didn't have to work like survival jobs the way most actors do, like working as a waiter or something, or waitress, or doing that type of thing in order to pay the bills.
Yeah, no, I started working on sets at first was just kind of, you know, it wasn't a survival job, but that has been, you know, a very bulk amount of my income. And I discovered I really, really love it. So if you love something, you just pour yourself into it and they complement each other so well that it's been, I've never looked back. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. All right. Now I'm going to put a picture up here. We're gonna chat here. Let me rearrange things. Let me bring this down here. So here are some of your past projects that people have seen you in. Yeah. Home for Harvest and Our Boss's Wedding aired on Great American Family last fall, last year.
Yeah.
And Sappy Holiday, I believe that was on Up TV, I believe. And A Very Corgi Christmas. Now, all these movies, these were all Andrew Simic and Brigitte Kingsley productions. Yeah. How did you get hooked up with those two?
And Patrick McBurdy. He also is producing with them. They've become amazing friends of mine. They're incredible filmmakers, but also the kindest people. And they've been such a huge champion. I can't even tell you how lucky I am to have them in my life. I first met Patrick of that trio years ago when I was first getting into producing. He actually called me. I hadn't met him before and said, I've heard great things about you. And I'm looking to hire someone for my next movie on the production side. So I came up, interviewed with him. I worked with him for about a year on a handful of movies and really grew on the production side there. Through him, I met Brigitte Kingsley, who's just, you know, someone, I mean, as a person, just like hands down, one of the most amazing people, but also as a professional, I really saw the way with her, where she's an actress and producer, and I really saw her carving her own path and was inspired by that. So we've connected very, you know, very closely, and she's been a bit of a mentor in this, like really balancing the two, and she's been a great champion of me. In her movies, which of course Andrew directs. So I got to know the three of them just by osmosis, and any project they're doing. I mean, there's not a lot of people where you wouldn't even care to read the script before you just say like, I'm in, you know, I know they're gonna really quality work, but they also just are the most fun to work with, like the best people on set. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've been wanting to chat with them on the podcast, but last year it didn't work out because of schedule arrangements. And then this year with the strikes going on, I couldn't have them on. So, yeah, I'd like to have those two on.
Oh, you definitely should. Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah. Now, they made a sequel to Our Boss's Wedding, which aired just a few weeks ago, called Our Christmas Wedding. But I don't remember seeing you in that. You weren't in that sequel, right?
No, I mean, I was like kind of like a decoy girl. You can't bring him back, right? You can't bring like the thorn in the relationship back.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I often end up playing like the villainous woman who's about to interrupt the love story. So she usually can't come back for the sequels.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of villainous, I saw you in a Lifetime movie not too long ago. I thought you were going to be the killer, but you were actually the red herring.
I know. But it was fun being the red herring because you got to play into being the killer more than you would if you were, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. Like, twist the stash a little bit. I think that was Deadly Mom Retreat, right?
Now, years ago, I used to like a show. It was on the Sci-Fi Channel called Haven. It starred Emily Rose and Lucas Bryant. They filmed it in Nova Scotia. And I saw in your credits that you were on an episode of Haven.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was one of my first jobs ever. I think it was my second job on film and television. Yeah. They filmed that episode that I was in outside of Halifax by, like, I think it was Hubbard's. I think, Nova Scotia. It was at least an hour out of the city, but it felt like you were driving back into town. It was just the cutest location. But what was so cool is that episode. I mean, I think they went back in time or something. I just remember the war so different and the attention to hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For everyone on set was just so, maybe it's because I was new, but it blew my mind. It was a fun one. Maybe it's because it was one of my first jobs. Wow, this is amazing. But
Did you get to meet Emily or Lucas at all?
I don't remember. Probably not.
I don't remember. Probably
not. It was a while ago. Yeah. I think I met one of them in a scene, but they were, you know, the main cast. I was a tiny, one main character. Yeah. I wasn't hanging out with them on set, that's for sure.
So let's talk about Christmas and Maple Hills. This is an added bonus Great American Christmas movie they just added to the schedule just a few days ago. This one was directed by, you'll have to help me pronounce his name, Marco, how do you pronounce his last name?
Defemia. Yeah.
Defemia, okay. Yeah. And it was written by Jennifer Snow, who's written a ton of movies this year.
She's awesome.
Yeah. It stars Marcus Rosner and Emily, and how do you pronounce Emily's last name?
Alitalo,
okay, just like it looks, okay. Yeah. All right. So give me a synopsis of what this movie's all about.
Ooh, okay. Christmas in Maple Hills. Well, it follows, I know, we were just chatting before we hopped on. We filmed this 2 years ago now. But it's a beautiful movie. It follows Emily's character, who, Valerie, who is a multi-generational dairy farmer. And she and her father have inherited this land that's, of course, passed down through the generations, most recently from her grandmother. They go to expand their operations, and the deed to the land actually isn't her mother's name, but it's not in what she recognizes her grandfather's name to be either. By, you know, process of her best friend kind of mingling in her love life, she teams up with Walker, who is a traveling doctor to these small rural towns, and he specializes in really connecting with veterans. And he helps her uncover the mystery of her grandmother's life, which is set in the 40s. And that's what makes this movie so special, is the B storyline takes place in the 1940s following the war effort. And then, of course, the A storyline is today. And you're following two evolving love stories. And the 40s one, I think, is just, you know, pure Americana, and it's very nostalgic to communities coming together and, you know, falling in love, supporting each other, and staying true to who you are and who you want to be. And then the A storyline is really just honoring the past and not just going with, like, the blanket narrative you've grown up hearing. Eventually, you know, I won't say what happens, but I think the farm will I think there's love on both found.
Yeah, we get a little bit of mystery in this one, a little bit of Christmas mystery in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always fun to weave a little mystery through there.
Mm-hmm. And your character, you have a small part in this. You play one of the characters from the 40s.
Yeah, I play Annie. She's in the war's effort, too. It's a naval ship factory. It was actually such a cool set. We built out that set. It was very industrial. industrial. The lighting's really cool. You can kind of see in that you have there. We just blasted lighting through these big windows. That was part of the strategy for making this film. We wanted the texture of all the flashback to feel different than modern day, so that even if for some reason you didn't follow the plot exactly looking at it, you could tell which timeline you were in. So, I mean, who doesn't want to dress up in the 40s and play a cool nostalgic part? It was really fun. And I'm really good friends with Marco, of course, the director. So just having a chance to play with him on set, what a gift of a day at work,
Now, you said, was this a set, your scene, was this a set that they built, or did they rent some property from someone to...
Oh, no, we built it out. Yeah, we built out that set.
Oh, you built it? Oh, okay.
Two stories. There's, metal work wrapped around the side, and filled it with all sorts of construction equipment and industrial tech, we call it. I think there was a bit of, a heater or something to get it to look, you see how there's a lot of dust in the air, trying to make the environment feel kind of gritty while it's still very, very soft and dreamy.
Yeah. Now,
anything period piece. I love a good period piece. So
yeah. Was this the first period piece that you've been in?
No, first in a while. No. I've done little short projects. I'm trying to think. I've done a few, but this was the most recent by far. It gets you going. It's so fun to do anything. You're thinking differently.
Yeah.
Your opinions as an actor are different than they would be today. It's just it's so fun to dive into.
It must be fun to dress up in the old wardrobe.
Yeah, definitely. The wardrobe, the makeup. But even just approaching the character, it doesn't matter what's going on. The context of the times is going to make your thought process differently. Judge the people you're with approach the character, it's going to be completely different. So I always find that fascinating as an actor. It's just a really fun exercise,
Now I have a clip of your scene here. I'm going to play it so people get a little taste of it. Here it is.
Who's that? He seems nice.
Mr. Denfield Jr. His father owns the factory. You know, he's traveled by plane all around the world.
For the war, you mean?
He served on the front lines, but the powers that be decided that with his education, he'd be better serving here, running the factory.
Now your scene partner there, your scene partner Amanda Jordan. Did you know her before shooting this movie?
I had auditioned her before for other parts, and I had her in mind as soon as I was reading through the script and knew what we were doing. I thought she was the perfect age and the perfect look for that era. And if memory serves, pretty sure I just gave her a direct offer for the part because I'd auditioned her enough for other material that I knew kind of her vibe and her energy, and it was coming up pretty quick. So this one, it was the biggest role she had done at that time. And I think with the whole team, and she really threw herself into it, I think she did a lovely job. And what's cool I don't want to give too much away because for your audience, to get to watch it next week, the 1940s stuff, I mean, it turned out really well. And we got to follow different aspects of that time, whether it be her war efforts or actually following people on the front. It's unlike any Christmas movie I've seen, in the TV movie space in that respect,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Marco, the director. You worked with him in the Jane Mysteries movie that you did like earlier this year, didn't you?
Really good at connecting dots. Yeah, we just worked together here in February.
Yeah. But you knew him before this movie, before this Maple Hills movie?
Yeah, I've worked with Marco on a bunch of projects as a producer and casting director, and God love him. He's just always pushing. He's like, come on, I need to get you in this one. I need to get you in this one. Like, he's so fun. So he was pushing for the Jane Mysteries too, which God love him. And I know we've talked, we want to do like a grittier action one together. So we'll probably cook something up there in the future, I think, down the road when there's time and money. But I think, we've always do a bit of an action movie together.
Oh, okay. Now, you mentioned in this movie you're not only in front of the camera, but you're also behind the camera because you were the casting director for this movie. So I want to talk about that. Did Marcus and Emily, did they have to audition for this?
Oh, no, I offered it to them for sure. I've worked with both of them before. You can see for yourself, like, they're great for the parts, but they're also just really strong performers who I've worked with on a couple of projects and knew they'd have the right chemistry and the right grace for these parts. And I was actually speaking with Marcus recently and rewatching this movie. I thought, I think he really brought so much depth and soul to his character. I don't think a lot of people would have approached it the same way. You certainly like get to fall in love with him throughout the process, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in casting this, how many audition self-tapes did you watch?
Oh my God. easily 100. Like, come on. It's a big movie. There's a lot of
Wow.
Some movies it takes a long time. This one came really quickly. But I got Gary Wheeler, who was the executive on this project. He's has a really strong casting that I really love and respect. And you don't see this everywhere. And he always says, the best actor has to win. And so it's definitely fun to bring some very curated auditions to him sometimes or pitch things accordingly for approvals, because he has a very strong eye and strategy in putting these together that you don't see everywhere. So that's pretty cool. Some people just want a pleasant face, but I know with Gary, he really cares about kind of the soul of the character. So it's nice to be able to kind of curate people accordingly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you're casting these types of movies, do you cast based on acting performance or based on how someone looks, if you think someone looks like the part?
It's both. It definitely is both, but it's also a complete collaboration, especially knowing, which network is it going to go to. There are some networks that care a lot more about a visual aesthetic than even necessarily the acting, like meat and potatoes of it. There are others that are completely on characterization or the manifestation of the work. And then many kind of fall in between. Me, first and foremost, I try to look for energy and then does the vessel, the person kind of fit the world. In this 1940s world, there's a very specific look compared to present day, which looked different. Paint the world, energy is the soul, and then acting is kind of the chops. And that's kind of how I approach it.
Okay. Now, you cast yourself in this, so did you have to submit a self-tape of yourself to yourself?
<That's fun. laughs> No, I was Beth Stevenson, who's an executive producer on this movie. She asked me if I would play Annie, which was so sweet of her. And of course I said yes.
Yeah. Now, I've been wondering, when are we going to see you as a lead in one of these movies?
I mean, let's get a message up to the big guy over at Great American. Let's make
Yeah, I think it needs to happen. You've been a supporting character so many times.
Thank you, Chad. Yeah,
I think we need to. We need to make that step up. I think.
Let's start a campaign right now. You'll get 10% engagement for this one.
So where was this movie filmed?
This movie was filmed outside of Toronto, Canada. Most of it was in the Barrie region. It's like an hour north of the city. We used studio spaces, practical locations. We did a lot of outdoor filming. It was quite a mix. Most of our locations were about an hour to an hour and a half outside of.
Okay. And you mentioned this was filmed. Was it filmed a year ago or 2 years ago?
It was March 2022. Yeah, March 2022. So about a year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so last year. Okay. What time of year was it? What time of year was it filmed?
It was March.
Spring or summer or what?
Last days.
March. Yeah. Oh yeah, you just said March. Okay. All right. So any outside film, outside scenes, like a lot of these Christmas movies, they film in the summer, and so when they do the outside scenes, they're wearing winter jackets, and it's 85 degrees outside, so you didn't have to deal with that.
That is so nice when you can shoot season for season. Oh my gosh. Not just because it looks better, but also you're going to pass out from heat and you're not going to freeze. Mm-hmm. I've done so many shoots when it is freezing outside in summer dresses. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a perk.
Let me see here. Now these. Yeah.
Oh yeah. What do you have?
Now see, these are some of the films that you casted. You were the casting director in Christmas Time Capsule. That was just on a couple of weeks ago on Up TV.
Yeah, and a producer on them too.
And yeah, producer. A Christmas Exchange. I saw that one on Lifetime.
Did you like it?
A couple years ago, I believe it was. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I like Laura. So I wanted to make sure to watch that movie.
Laura, she's so down to earth. She just loves to do her job excellently. It's it was a pleasure to work with her. We've worked with her a few times now, and she's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Santa's Got Style. That was a really good movie.
That was a fun one. Yeah.
That was a fun one. Yeah, that was had a different take on the Christmas movies. Yeah.
Yeah, Amy Forrest.
And then of course, Fallen Angel. What's that?
Amy Forrest directed Santa's Got Style. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And Fallen Angels Murder Club. You did a couple of those.
That was a franchise.
So how did you get?
That was a franchise, the Murder Club, and that. Franchise is one of my favorite projects I've made to date.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you go from acting to casting? How did you make that leap there?
I was working in production, so I was still acting. I started in acting, then I started getting into production work from there. And from production, I saw such an opportunity in casting. I saw so many people within the community that I knew as actors, or I knew from working on set or from classes, who were not being seen at all. And they were excellent for projects. And I just saw a real opportunity to really start putting my neck out there and pushing for people and collaborating with decision makers. And the more I did that, I just said, give me one. Just give me one to cast. And I think I can really knock it out of the park. And actually the first one that I cast solo that I wasn't assisting on or, kind of like wheedling my way in was actually with Emily Alatalo as a lead. I think it was one of her first leading roles. and she met her now fiance on that movie. So I actually cast them. Now getting married, which is so cute. But yeah, so I just saw for casting, I think it's because first and foremost, as a performer, if you take yourself out of it and you just follow every character and the people you know who can do an amazing job, it's exhilarating. Like, it is so exciting to be able to really push for people or give someone a chance and really hope they're going to do it. And then they knock it out of the park. Or if you give someone an opportunity they wouldn't have been given otherwise, and they come to the table and they make you look really good. It's really fulfilling in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must be fun to see people achieve goals that they have. Yeah.
Especially if they're shared goals. I know what it feels like when someone champions you. I know what it feels like when you get that part or when you're given a shot at something you normally wouldn't be looked at for. And to be able to give that people the opportunity, it feels really good too.
Now, for those that don't know, like, all the casting director duties, talk a little bit about what a casting director does and the casting process that you go through.
I think because I also work as a producer on the films I cast, I take on a lot more than you usually would. So I'll answer for myself because I only really know my process. And for everything outside of acting, I wasn't, you know, trained a job. I figured it out for myself. So for me, I'll take a script down completely. I'll map out every single character that I think I should have hands on, what category they are. I'll figure out who they are within the one, how I can put into a few short lines their essence so that people will know how to pitch accordingly to me. I'll put down, you know, budget, the unions, the guilds, all the kind of business structure of the movie. I'll put it out there through a platform so that agents and managers within a geographic region that I want can submit to me. Then I'll go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of submissions. And from the hundreds and hundreds of submissions, I'll curate who I want to audition. I'll prepare specific scenes for them to audition with. I might request a few people that I know are great for it and weren't submitted for whatever reasons. And then review the auditions, curate the people that best fit kind of my vision, knowing what the team's greater vision is, pitch accordingly. Sometimes on the bigger projects, such as Fallen Angels that you have up there, I'll do rounds and rounds of mood boards first and kind of do a temperature check to see if we're all on the same page. I might reach out to agents and managers to see if the people we're thinking of, if it's within their wheelhouse or what they want to be doing now back to the networks. It's always a little bit of a different recipe for each project, but that's my general approach. Once we pick the people, I structure offers. I do the negotiations, and then I personally do the legal contracts too. And it's a mix between being a producer and a casting director. Wow. And then on set, I make sure their contracts are fulfilled. I make sure that, you know, the payments are done according to guild regulations and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Wow, you do a lot. Holy man.
It's what keeps it interesting.
Yeah. Now, do you cast only through agents or do you also use casting websites?
So I will utilize casting websites, but I typically only make it available to agents and managers. Sometimes, if it's a very niche thing that I'm struggling to find the right people for, I will open it up to actors themselves to submit to me, but it's very seldom that is necessary. In terms of stunts, I'll work very closely with stunt coordinators to find out who they work with that they like. Sometimes I'll suggest people to them, but I really defer to their you know, roster wheelhouse there. Sometimes I'll just reach out direct to, very often I'll just reach out direct to not the talent, but their rep. Or if I know the talent really well, I'll say, does this interest you? Yes, then I'll reach out to their rep. But that's generally the process.
Okay. Now, I've heard that casting directors only watch about 15 seconds of somebody's tape and they know right away whether someone is right for the part or not. Is that true?
Part of that is true. I think you do know right away. I will watch the full tape because sometimes people will surprise you at the end. But if it's a really tight turnaround, sometimes it's not the full tape, sometimes it's halfway through. Typically, out of respect to the performers, myself being a performer, I'll watch the whole tape, but you do know right away. I also make lists as I go, and I see what people will be good for if they're not for them. So for instance, Amanda Jordan in Maple Hills, I had had a read for other things. I knew instantly she was right for this because I had auditioned to work. That answer, you definitely...
Okay, so...
You know right away if they're worth being in the mix for. You don't know right away if they're the best fit. That is what I'll say.
So if someone sends in a tape for a certain role and you think, well, I don't think they're right for this role, but you definitely will consider them for another role in the same movie.
Oh, 1,000%. I mix and match all the time. I'll bring someone out for part C and walk them up to part B. Sometimes it's what they bring, you get inspired and no, that's not a Dave, that's a Jake. But I also keep super detailed notes and I'll keep them in mind for other projects because usually I'd be cast multiple things at once. So I wouldn't read one person for four movies. I'd bring them out for one movie. I'd keep them in mind for maybe three of the four.
Ah, okay. Okay. And what exactly are you looking for when you're watching all these tapes? Are there certain things that jump out at you right away that either turn you on or turn you off?
Like I was saying, for me, I think energy is one of the biggest things. And energy is unique to you, and it's something no one else can bring. So when people ask, what can I do to, how can I be like this person? You can't. Your superpower is being you. And the more yourself you bring to the role, the more you're different. For someone's unique energy, and if that jives with, interpretation of the character, the looks within the world of the film, and of course, what acting you're bringing. Are they really... making you engage with the heart of the scene selected. That's kind of what I eye out for.
Okay. Now, someone on Instagram wanted to know. What's that? Is that someone you know in the chat?
No. Hi. So, hi.
Now, someone on Instagram wanted to know if you ever hire non-union actors for any of your films?
Ooh, good question. It depends. If it's a non-union film, of course, I almost never do non-union films, but in the past I have. I definitely have hired many non-union performers and helped them get their apprenticeship within the union or a permit. So that's definitely a possibility, but first and foremost, regulation-wise, you have to give preference to union performers. And always avenues to get in, but definitely non-union performers, help them get their apprenticeship or permit for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Now, something else we need to talk about. Recently you co-founded a production company called Candor Pictures. Tell me all about this.
Oh my God, thank you for bringing this up. That's so sweet. Candor Pictures, yes, we do. It's with my co-founder, Miles Milne, who's also the lead producer on Maple Hills that we were chatting about today. Miles and I have worked together for over 7 years. We've produced over 50 movies together. And at Candor Pictures, we are focusing on doing a very small slate of movies that have strong heart and push the boundaries of the genre. Really excited to jump into next year and have some great projects lining up. And I'm excited for you to see what's coming out of our pipeline soon.
Okay, good. Fun. This must be really exciting for you to have your own company.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the next chapter and a bit of a dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to be doing it with Miles. We have such a shared and united vision for how we want to tell stories, what we want to tell, and how we want to approach business. It's a really exciting time, and it's been really great to just spend the last few months working on development and setting up all the foundation for next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, something else exciting that you do, you are a marksman, or a markswoman, I should say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have a clip here. I have to show this. Hold on, and then we'll chat about this.
Oh, God. You're full surprises. I love this. I'm coming in.
Whoa. So that's pretty impressive. Now, how did you get inspired to do this?
Well, like I said, I really want to work in action movies, and I do not wait around for things to be. So my ex-boyfriend and I both wanted to get into shooting, and we started training together and both fell in love with the sport. And it went from something to try to create work to just a passion for it. So we do IPSC, which is the international version of America's USPSA, which is how Keanu Reeves trains for the John Wick movies. Now, I'm no Wick yet, but it's a really fun sport.
Okay, so I was going to ask if you've been around guns all your life. Apparently not.
No. So I was first exposed to firearms when I trained the embedded war report. We got to go out to Wainwright in Alberta. It's the largest base in Canada, if I were to say. And we're flying in helicopters and in Leopard 2 tanks, and got to do some rifle work. And accidentally, first time with a rifle, I passed our Canadian Armed accuracy test. I thought, you know what? I think there might be something to this. Years later, I got into the pistol work you see here. I think it's even more fun. So in Canada, of course, you need a license and you need a black badge to do what I'm doing there, and actually say a restricted license for those pistols. So quite a lot of hoops to be able to do it over here, and definitely worth it.
Wow. That is impressive. So I could see you playing a cop in a movie.
Totally. Yeah, a cop.
Yeah.
Or a villain. I was taking on the villain. I like the cop angle. Yeah. I think it suits my features better.
All right, I have some questions here. These are kind of acting related questions here. What? No, my brother has been his whole life, and when I was a kid, I was like in my early teens. He took me out and shooting one time, but I haven't done that. It's been since I was like 13 or 14 since I've done that. he used to work in law enforcement, my brother.
Oh, cool. Good for him.
Yeah. So, all right, here's some acting questions. Who is someone that you have worked with that you would love to work with again?
First person that comes to mind is Wayne Knight.
Oh.
Yeah, I most people know from Seinfeld or Jurassic Park. I got to work with him on The Truth of the Harry Caber Affair.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Who is someone that you've never worked with that you would love to work with?
Jessica Chastain.
Oh, that's a good one.
Favorite actress. Yeah.
Okay. I have a friend who loves her. Okay. Now, what's your favorite movie that you've been in or worked on?
I know, Chad. They're all kind of my babies.
That's a tough.
There's a few that are really fun to be in. I loved For a Prince was a really fun one. That was a really fun one. Make, I really love Alaska. It was just, I don't know, there's something about that one. Vacations was really fun to make. And The Truth of the Harry Caber Affair was actually a really series to be a part of. So I think that would be up there too. But I have to tell you, I change my answer like almost every time of this question. It depends the day.
Now, what is a role that you auditioned for that you were really bummed out that you didn't get? You really wanted that part.
Ooh. I kind of scrubbed those from my memory. A few series. Yeah. Well, it's just like it's on to the next, right? But there were a few like series leads recently that were just really, really cool. I feel like I just completely erased them from my memory. I don't dwell on them, you know. If they're, I celebrate them. Right. If not, I'm happy for whoever gets it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. When you do an audition, you kind of have to forget about it. Otherwise, you start doubting yourself and get disappointed. So you kind of, like you said, you have to erase it from your mind.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. And I think it's just casting such a weird thing where there's so many things that go in on being picked. If you dwell on it or if you're waiting, you're going to get sick from it, especially the more you audition, you're busy, right? Oh, I know. I've got the answer for you. The one I was really bummed. It was for a series a summer or so ago. It was for Creepshow. I knew that I'm through many, many, many rounds of up to the decision makers. And it was cool. I got to like beat up a werewolf and stuff in that audition. So that one was pretty bomb. Didn't pan out. It was shot in beautiful British Columbia, Vancouver area. So there's your answer.
Wow. There it is. Creepshow. Okay.
Of losing it.
Okay. Here, who is someone, a person who has had the biggest impact on your career? Is there someone you can think of?
There's a few people. I would say my former boss, Beth Stevenson, of course, is one of them, where I was producing and casting many of the previous films. My current partner, Miles Milne, is a huge one because we we really have gone forward in launching our company together. Brigitte Kingsley has been a huge champion of me on the acting side, which I'll always be grateful for. And I would say my agents too, being with Daniel here in Kent's, you know, something I could have only ever dreamed of. And really excited to see how our relationship evolves moving forward.
Okay. Those are good answers. Now, do you have any aspirations of directing someday?
Chad, you should have told me I needed to prepare like an acceptance speech. I don't. People ask me that all the time. I love producing. I love casting. I love acting the most. I think if I were to expand at all, it would be.
Yeah, that was my next question. The writing. Yeah, your plate's full. But someday, maybe, would you write a movie?
I think sure. I mean, I've done some film in the past. One of the first ones to go to Netflix that I've worked on, actually got to add about HIPT. My back course is a journalist. I love writing. Okay. I'll definitely focusing on producing, start packaging.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna wrap up here with some fun questions here. Now, tomorrow is Thanksgiving here in the States, but in Canada, you have your Thanksgiving actually last month in October, right? Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. You hearing me? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, there's just a little, I think we're good.
Yeah, there's a lag. I don't know if it's my connection or yours. I'm not sure.
I don't know. We'll keep together, though. That's okay. To answer, yes, Thanksgiving is mid-October.
So in Canada, is tomorrow just a regular work day for everyone?
Yeah, tomorrow. Well, it's regular because we get to piggyback off your holidays. So most of America's out of office. A light prep, get an advance kind of day for us. And then I took Friday off, so I'm going to have a nice long weekend with you.
Okay. All right, before you go, are there any future projects that you're allowed to talk about that you're working on?
There's not many I can talk about yet, but does look like there's going to be a very soon are going early next year with Candor Pictures. And then there's some pretty exciting independent features that we're also on right now, but I can't share those just yet. But once they get going, I'd love to hop in and chat some more.
Okay. All right. And tell people your social media handles.
To Great American also. See you.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good. Okay. All right. So yeah. Tell people your social media.
There might be some fun collabs coming up. We'll see.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I'm right now just on Instagram. You can find me at Rebecca Marsh. And then you can find me at Candor Pictures. Candor is spelt with U, the Canadian version.
Okay. The website is, what is it, candorpictures.com? I got a delay in sound here.
Hold on. Yes. Yes.
All right. All right. Well, Christmas in Maple Hills premieres Monday, November 27th at 8 o'clock Eastern on Great American Family. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here.
Of course, anyone can reach out to me in the DMs on my Instagram. I'm always happy to chat and connect.
Wait, hold on, we gotta. Oh, waiting for her response here. Wait a minute.
Thank you so much for having me, and undoubtedly we will connect again soon.
All right. And thank you for being here, Chatters. And until next time, you keep the faith, keep smiling, keep your friends close, and keep your great American family closer. Bye.